You're listening to a Mash Those Buttons podcast, brought to you ad-free with the support of our patrons. Visit mashthosebuttons.com or stay tuned after the show for more details. Welcome to the Mash Those Buttons show, where we cover the latest in games, community culture, and everything in between. This week, we are going to be talking about EA Play 2020. Cyberpunk 2077 has been delayed again. There was a possible PS5 price leak, and we're also going to jump into the latest Pokemon Direct. This is episode number 16. We are recording for the week of June 22nd, 2020. And I'd like to welcome any first-time listeners. I am Jarrett, but you can call me Ja, and I am here with the games industry public defender and the scourge of Ironforge, Nick Zelenkevich.
You know, you say I'm the public defender. I don't feel like I've been doing that much defending lately. I feel like I've actually been a little bit antagonistic towards the games industry lately.
You're falling off, Nick. You're falling off.
I don't know. I'm getting old. I can't be defending anymore. I'm getting old and ornery.
So I'd like to thank you for taking the time to listen. Also, I'd like to thank and welcome back any returning listeners and give a very special thanks to our supporters on Patreon. I hope you're enjoying the Cutting Room Floor content and Mash Those Buttons extended play. And I'd like to give a thanks to our Twitch subscribers. And if you want to know when we go live on Twitch, just go to twitch.tv/mashthosebuttons and give us a follow. And also, you can follow us on twitter.com/TheMashNetwork. And we'd love to have you join us on our Discord community at mash.gg/Discord. And you can join the Mashless Buttons community, meet myself and Nick. We'll have a good time. All right, we're not going to waste any time. We're going to hop right into EA Play 2020.
On June 18th, EA displayed its upcoming games on EA Play. Kicking things off with Apex Legends, players will soon have a new event to play, Lost Treasures. The event will bring back a modified version of the Armed and Dangerous Limited Time mode, a new town takeover, skins, and more on June 23rd. Additionally, Apex Legends will be making its way to Switch and Steam this fall, along with crossplay. EA took some time to highlight three new EA Originals. It Takes Two, a co-op platformer, Lost in Random, a 3D action game, and Rocket Arena, a 3v3 hero shooter. After a teaser earlier in the week, EA finally fully revealed Star Wars Squadrons, a 5v5 first-person flight combat game coming this fall. Taking place shortly after Return of the Jedi, players become pilots for both Rebel and Imperial forces and fight to take down other pilots, enemy capital ships, and flagships. Squadrons will have VR support and cross-play at launch. Winding down, EA gave a quick look into what to expect in the next generation of consoles, showing works in progress for Need for Speed, Battlefield, and an unspecified BioWare game.
I'm here with Nick and Corey Treadway, also known as Corbara. All right, let's just hop right into this conference here. Start from the very beginning. The obligatory thanking first responders and affirming that Black Lives Matter. So just going to go ahead and get that out the way. Thanks, Andrew. I do think that every conference feels like they have to start with that now. Who started that? Who started that train?
I'm trying to think who was that. I know that when I was watching Andrew talk, it was very unnerving the way he just...
That's why I wanted to talk about that a little bit, because... Don't get me wrong. I'm not making... I mean, if you listen to a few episodes ago, I'm most certainly not making fun of the subject matter. It is the way he presented it. You know? Like, he presented it in the most neutral way possible. Like, that's what it felt like. But hey, you know, at least they're taking a stand. But it was odd. That was all. That's all I wanted to say. It was odd, but
I wonder if it's just the kind of thing like you're thinking in your head, like, say Black Lives Matter, don't say All Lives Matter. Say Black Lives Matter, don't say All Lives Matter.
He's like, read the prompt, read the prompt, read the prompt.
Well, if you looked close, if you could see his eyes just following every word on that teleprompter.
I mean, in his defense, though, he is a CEO, and I'm pretty sure he is really, really busy. So he's just trying to get through it and get the fuck out of there, you know. So, yeah, that is how they kicked off the conference. And I am too old to read internet comments. I really am, because I'm reading the comments on the, I watch it directly from EA's YouTube. And I'm reading the comments and they're like, oh, this entire conference is political bullshit. 50 minutes of political bullshit. So I'm like, I'm still at the beginning at that point. So I'm like, okay, let's see exactly how much political, you know, bullshit there is, you know, as they say. So right after that, there is one other thing that he said that I think he really should not have said. And I don't know. It was just the way it was written for him, you know. So I don't really blame him for this. I do blame whoever wrote his speech. But they said, he said games can be fun, and he got ripped apart for that versus that games are fun. He said games can be fun, and he got torn apart in the comments for that. You know, EA can't make a bad move. They can't afford to make a bad move because they get knocked all the way back down to the bottom. There is no, nobody, like, they could do a bunch of amazing stuff. Like, I don't know, release a great Star Wars game, announce another great Star Wars game, bring all of their games back to Steam, promote crossplay, and one mistake, and they'll kick that chair right from underneath you. Yeah. That's the position that EA is in, unfortunately for them.
They also brought back games people have been asking for years, so come on.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the way it is. But yeah, so they did kick it off with Apex Legends, which we're not going to get too deep into that because we have an entire podcast dedicated to that.
We'll cover that on Tuesday.
They'll cover that on Tuesday, but there is a new event kicking off next week, isn't it?
Yeah, Tuesday.
You know, Tuesday is it 23rd? Which I find odd because the other event is still happening. I guess technically speaking, Fortune's Favor is a season. This is an event during the during the season.
And also, I think they're doing the split the same time as this, so.
Oh, really? Dude, I'm going to get knocked all the way back down to Bronze 4 because I just did not play. I think I'm Silver 3, you know? So, yeah, I did not play probably. But moving on. So the new event is going to bring back Armed and Dangerous, which is snipers and shotguns only. But now you're going to have Evo armor and they're going to have mobile respawns versus regular respawns. So everybody gets one mobile respawn. And I'm curious to see how it's going to go. It's not, you know, when they did the event where they had the armor, you know, they started you off with armor. I thought that was something that they could keep in the main game. Mobile respawns, and maybe if you can pick them up, like maybe if you could pick them up from somewhere, like there's one or two available in the game, maybe they can keep that. But most certainly not everybody having one, you know.
Yeah, I think they're doing that just to work on some other like third partying issue, but we'll have to see it when the get vet comes on Tuesday.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the whole thing about the respawn system in that game. It's supposed to be dangerous. If you don't want to get ganked at the respawn, don't die. You know, that's the solution to that problem. There's going to be a new town takeover, Crypto's map room, which I'm not sure if they explained more about that yet. But I mean, it deals with crypto and something about is hacking. That's about all we know about it. New skins, new heirloom for Mirage. And the bigger news for me, one, Apex is coming to Steam. It's also going to Switch, but I don't care about that.
That's whatever.
But it's coming to Steam. And I'm so happy because Origin is trash. It still is trash. I'm getting tired of being in the middle of a fight and getting alt-tabbed out of my game when I'm not hitting alt-tab. The game minimizes, and it's infuriating.
Yeah, and you're not the only one that happens to. It happens to me. It's happened to Kender. It's just like, middle of a fight, we're about to, and I'm tapped out.
Yep. Like, it's just, I don't understand. So, even bigger, though, is crossplay. Crossplay is coming to Apex. And I've heard two arguments against it, one from the console side, one from the PC side. The PC side, the person who was talking about the PC and why they don't want crossplay is like, oh, they're gonna have aim assist and it's cheating. Yik. And then the console people are like, oh, PC players are cheaters and we're all gonna get cheated now because 80% of PC games have cheaters in it. I'm like, where the fuck do you get these numbers? These are Trump numbers, man.
Yeah. Also, consoles also rampant with cheating, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, like it's just. I don't know. Like, neither side is going to be happy. You know what all it does is it leads to excuses, right? You die and you don't think you should have died. Oh, he's a PC player. He's clearly hacking. Clearly hacking because nobody can beat me in my perfect Silver 3 gameplay. No one. The only reason I'm in Silver 3 is because of these hackers on PC. I don't care that crossplay just came. You know, so yeah, that's it's gonna lead to excuses. But moving on, they did talk about The Sims. I think the only news that they wanted to relay about The Sims is that it was coming to Steam. And I've heard, like, I shouldn't say I've heard, but I saw a screenshot, and I'll say flat out, I don't know how true it is if it was doctored, but somebody loaded up The Sims in all of its DLC and packages. It was like $500 or something like that.
I believe it.
That sounds about right.
A few years ago I went on like a Sims 2 splurge. This was, I think, right before The Sims 4 came out. So it was long enough that The Sims 2 stuff was all on sale, and I still spent like roughly about $100. I didn't get all of the expansion packs. I just got enough of them. They were all at a reduced price as it was. And yeah, I mean, I enjoyed the hell out of it because I had a ton of shit to do with my Sims, but If I could spend like well over $100 at that point and still not get everything, and that was The Sims 2 before they had perfected their marketing and the sheer number of expansion packs and DLC that they have for that game now, I'd believe it. That if you are the kind of person who, like, no, I need to have everything, like, yeah, you better have like a second job.
Well, there's just to let you know, there is about 9 expansion packs, about 10 game packs. And there's also things called stuff packs, and looks about close to 20 of those.
Yeah. Also, I mean, yeah, I'm not going to buy The Sims. I stopped playing The Sims a while ago. I think I bought The Sims 3, and I realized that I was basically just playing my life, which I'm like, why am I doing this? I just will live my life. Like, I'm not going to play The Sims. They did have like a montage of people talking about building their life on The Sims and, you know, not having to worry about discrimination and stuff like that. Kind of made me feel like a dick because I'm like, yeah, I stopped playing The Sims because I was playing my life. You know, I was like, damn, that's privilege for you. Yeah. So
I played it as a kid when I was trying to plan out how my life was going to be in the future. Didn't exactly turn out, but
as a kid, I played The Sims 2, but that's because I'm like fucking, you know, I don't even know how old I was when the first Sims came out, 14, 15, 16, maybe. And I'm building my house. I got my wife. I got my kids, all this stuff. And then I actually, now I just do the shit. Like, you know, so it's a little different. Like, the reason I actually stopped playing The Sims was because I was living my life in The Sims. I'm like, I don't need to live it twice.
See, I've been thinking about getting back into The Sims because I've got my wife, I've got my kids, and I actually want to build a life where I can do stuff. So.
Fair enough.
So from there, they moved on to EA Originals. And EA Originals are usually those kind of smaller games that don't make a huge splash. But I got to be honest, they're usually, from EA, they're usually pretty good. You know, Unravel was good. Why can't I remember the name of the one with the shadows now? I cannot remember the name of that game. Oh, but that was also pretty good too.
I like that one.
But yeah, so Hazelight, I think it's Hazelight, is making another game. They made A Way Out, which just came to Steam, by the way. So I'm like, finally, I can fucking play it, you know? This game's called It Takes Two. It is a co-op platformer where you control two dolls that come to life magically. There's some type of tragic story with a girl and her parents divorcing and stuff like that. Apparently those two dolls are like, basically your gameplay is going to be based around that. So that's cool. That's the guy who said, fuck the Oscars on the Game Awards. That's the writer from there. So
he's very outrageous, but I like his work.
Yeah, so he's actually pretty good. So that should be interesting. I was actually interested in Lost and Random. This is a single player game, I believe. It's a 3D action game, and it's Gothic fairy tale inspired. But it looks like The Nightmare Before Christmas. I don't know what animation style that is. I mean, I know it's stop motion. Stop motion animation is The Nightmare Before Christmas, but that style of art, I don't know what it's called. The first time I saw it was Nightmare Before Christmas. At least that's what I feel like. And in this world, essentially it's called Lost in Random because you're in the world called Random, and everything in Random is controlled by the roll of this dice. And apparently there is a second dice that you find, and that's your partner in the game. But yeah, she had she was doing melee combat and had a slingshot and stuff like that. So it actually looked like it was going to be pretty cool. So I'm actually looking forward to that. That's Zoink Games.
Yeah, that was my most anticipated game besides the Star Wars games coming up. I saw that. I'm like, this is an instant buy. And I showed my wife and she can't wait to get it too so she can play it because we love anything that looks like Tim Burton or Nightmare Before Christmas animation style. It's just up my alley. Yeah.
And then there was Rocket Arena. And this is a 3v3 hero shooter, and they said everything is rockets. That's not 100% true. What they actually mean, or what I imagine they mean, is that everything has splash damage, because the stuff that they showed in the preview weren't just rockets, you know? But what I imagine is that everything has splash damage, and all the heroes have rocket-based powers. This also supports crossplay at launch, and it has dynamic maps. Now, I don't know what they mean by that. Do they mean that the maps change every time you go into it, or is it like Smash Brothers where random events will happen and change how you have to fight in the map? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, we'll see.
So
it could be like just items in the map move and they're like obstacles that could hit you, or just different things changing on the location.
I hope it's not like Bleeding Edge fucking dynamic. In that case, that fucking train in Bleeding Edge, fuck that train.
Yeah, it looked like it might be.
Yeah.
I would think it's more like destruction, like when you shoot the rockets and stuff, the rockets actually blow stuff up and change the map that way, that you can dynamically influence what the map is like as you go along.
Maybe, but I remember when they did that for the first time in Battlefield Bad Company 2. And if the fight goes on too long, you basically just have a flat arena at that
point. Yeah. But the thing is, that sounds like something I would expect from a game called Rocket Arena. After a long enough time, you should just have a bowl that you're in, and then that's it. You're just shooting people until the time runs out or the lives run out or whatever you're doing there.
So what I'm curious about is what this means for the term Rocket Arena, because this is an original term. I mean, this is like Rocket Arena was like a game mode in other games, like other arena shooters. Rocket Arena was it's not an expansion, like a mod in Unreal and mm-hmm. Quake and stuff like that. So can nobody use those terms anymore? I hope not. I'd be kind of pissed about that, because it's not their term. It's not their term,
Yeah. Well, actually, it is based on I'm looking it up real quick. It actually is based on the Quake 2 mod. That literally is where they got the name from. It says in their bio.
Who has the trademark? Because it is their term.
Yeah. Didn't nobody learn their lessons from Blizzard? not trademarking Dota. So, but the big reveal that everybody was looking forward to see was Star Wars Squadrons. And that is coming October 2nd. We saw there was a trailer, a teaser that came out on Monday. But now we finally see what the game will look like, what it'll play like. It is a 5v5 first person combat game. There are going to be at least three modes. One single player mode that takes place right after or shortly after Return of the Jedi, where you'll play as a Rebel and Empire pilot. There is a dogfight multiplayer mode where it's just a straight up 5v5 battle. So I'm sure you get to a certain amount of kills and that's it. There is a fleet battle mode, which is probably going to be their competitive mode where it's multi-stage, right? You first start in the middle, you do a dogfight, whoever wins that, you push into their territory and you try to destroy their capital ships, and you push even further, you try to destroy their flagship. However, you can push people back, so let's say they get to your capital ship and you beat them. Now you go back to dogfight and you can, take the fight from them. So it's supposed to be like a collaborative game, right? Like you're supposed to organize with your teams and try to put together your loadouts and you know, stuff like that. Yeah. So
it showed them meeting on a bridge of a ship, and they all going around and looking at the map and trying to figure out what they're going to do.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of depth. Like, he even talked about being able to divert your power inside the ship to do different things. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're getting chased by somebody, you could divert your power from, like, let's say your blasters to your rear shields or something like that, you know? Yeah. And apparently they want you to be able to maneuver, like, really, like, like, there should be a difference between, like, normal players and ace pilots. Like, if you can get the feel of the ships and get really good at it, they want to see some really awesome maneuvers. So I wasn't, like, too deep into it. And now when I saw, I'm like, okay, well, I'm definitely going to at least get it when it comes out. I'm still not, like, super excited for it. So we'll see. There are multiple classes of fighters, too. Like, there's, like, regular fighters, like your X-Wing and TIE Fighter. There are interceptors, like the A-Wing. Supports, which I would imagine they will give buffs to allies and give them, like, heals or nerf enemies. So, I don't know, jam radar or something like that. And then there are bombers. I didn't see what type. I forgot what type of ship they had for support. I know the bomber is the Y-Wing. And then the TIE bomber, the interceptor. Yeah. Well, I think the interceptor, like, for the Empire, is just called the interceptor.
Yeah, it's
right?
Just the TIE interceptor. The yeah, I forget the names for them, but the ones for supports are mostly, like, their transport ships.
The B wing.
Ah, gotcha.
Not the B wing. Not the B wing. That would have been cool, but I didn't see a B wing in there. It was one of the newer ships they introduced in, like, the newer extended movies. I can't remember their names right now.
Yeah, and so this is also going to support crossplay from launch, and it's going to have VR support at launch,
which is also crossplay, which will be interesting.
So yeah, I mean, EA is really pushing crossplay. Like, they're like, yeah, this is not the time to be lagging behind. So they're really, because you know why, you know, crossplay is the future. Why waste time not putting it into your game?
Also,
they
have no incentive not to push crossplay. It's not like they're at all tied to any system or anything that they need to push one above the other. True. So yeah, so go for it.
So there was a next gen look at games, but in my opinion, they shouldn't even have shown this. You know, there was no reason to show this stuff. They showed a work in progress Need for Speed, which looked beautiful, by the way. It did. It looked great. It actually looked like on par with Forza. I will say that. It looked on par with Forza, so good for them. They did show a Battlefield game in grayscale.
That was weird.
For next gen. That was weird. I'm like, maybe did they want to show all of the, you know, how many people they could have on the screen at one time? Maybe they said they're working on a new IP. I forget. I think Criterion's working on it. A new IP that's going to supposedly really utilize the new storage infrastructure of these new consoles. And then they showed an untitled BioWare game. I don't know if it's like Dragon Age 4, maybe. You don't think so? You're both shaking your heads. Like, I don't know.
It's not that. It's the last time EA did this was before they released the stuff for Mass Effect Andromeda, saying, we're going to show you great worlds, and nothing really got delivered on that.
Show me a real game. Like, don't do these teaser images. Like, no, just show me the real thing. Like, I don't need... Like, especially if it's Mass Effect or Dragon Age, like, we're already hyped for those. You don't need to like if you're gonna show us that and be like, oh, something's like, no, we just show us the thing already. Just get it out. Right. Get on it. It's right. It's Anthem 2, by the way.
Is that Anthem next?
So they did show an EA Sports montage. Yay. And I am glad it was just a quick montage, because they know that nobody watching this thing really gives a fuck about Madden or FIFA.
Kind of funny thing about that.
Two of their biggest titles, but the people watching this don't care. Good.
Yeah, I was like, my wife, actually, she missed the first part of EA Plays because she's used to EA starting it with like 10 minutes of sports. And she's like, wait, they didn't start with sports? God damn it. The one time I don't watch at the start.
Yeah. And then they also announced Skate 4, did not show anything about it, but they did announce that Skate 4 is a thing. And they're like, oh, we did it. We commented Skate 4 into existence. Yay. They probably caught wind that Activision was like, yeah, we're putting Tony Hawk back out. Okay, cool. Skating's in? No problem.
Yeah, it actually probably is what happened because no one cared about skating before for a while.
Yeah. And obviously, don't get me wrong, obviously Activision just announced the Tony Hawk remake recently, but word had to be getting around, you know? So, I don't know. Whenever you see two developers or two publishers kind of publishing the same types of games at the same time, like, I mean, we've seen it in the past. Like, look at Infamous and what's the other one that just wasn't as popular? Infamous Prototype.
Prototype.
You know, those games kind of came out at the same time. Ideas are being shared. Things are being talked about behind the scenes. So people know things. Somebody knows somebody that knows something, you know, so it would make sense. But overall, I thought it was a solid presentation, right? That comments are tearing them up. It got 10,000 more dislikes than it did likes. People like, oh, you didn't show us anything we wanted. Where's our Mass Effect remake? Who said they were making a Mass Effect remake? Nobody at EA said they were making a Mass Effect remake.
That's just been rumored. It's been rumored since PS4 started.
Yeah. You can make it. You could go play Mass Effect right now on Steam.
Right.
You can play it right now on Steam. And when they say remake, they want like a Final Fantasy VII style remake of a game that came out, I guess, when did the original Mass Effect come out? 13 years ago?
Yeah, it's not that old.
2007.
Yeah, it's not that old. So no, like, I don't know. I'm getting too old for internet comments, man. I just am.
Well, to be fair, I guess if you're like a 17-year-old kid, then yeah, like, you know, the first Mass Effect came out when you were 4. I can see how maybe you'd feel like, yeah, I want something new for that. But like,
well, that 17-year-old can still go back and play Mass Effect on Steam.
Right.
Yeah, don't play it on Origins. Please play it on Steam.
I want to know when people are going to start demanding, like, I want my Donkey Kong remake. I want I want Mario Brothers remade with like 3D graphics and like all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's still happening. I mean,
we're getting, I think we're reaching a point in the technology where in many cases, it just does not make sense to remake some of these games, you know, not to mention, you know how difficult it would be to remake a Mass Effect. You know how many lines of dialogue were said in that game? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, that would be insane, you know? Like, no, just get over it. And once again, like I said, the people were talking about the political bullshit happening and the, you know, throughout this 50 minutes political bullshit. In terms of political shit, I mean, at most, you can qualify what was said in The Sims and then at the very beginning. But come on, man, get over it. Yo, gamers are ridiculous. I don't want politics in my games, but if I see something that I don't agree with politically, I'm going to be upset about it. You know, come on, get over it. You know, yeah, I'm sorry that you don't want to see people just living their lives in peace. My bad. You know, but I thought it wasn't like a great, you know, show, but it was solid. I mean, there are three games that I'm gonna play out of this for sure. All three of those EA originals I'm down for. Oh, four, because the Squadrons, I already play Apex, you know. So yeah, I mean, I feel like EA, you know, people say EA is not listening to them. I think EA is listening to people perfectly fine, you know, but they're being reasonable about it. They're putting crossplay into games. They're moving their games back over to Steam. One thing that I thought was interesting about the EA originals is that animation they did for the developers in the first part, one of the things the developer said, that he says, you know, nothing makes it into the game that wasn't part of the original vision, or that's not part of the vision. And that says a lot coming from EA, because you're talking about the company that made Mass Effect and Dead Space have a multiplayer. Dead Space 3 was an action shooter because they wanted to be more like Resident Evil. You know?
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure actually a lot of EA Rage is also the developer, I think, makes almost all the money.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, I think this is EA listening, but being kind of responsible for it. You know? Go ahead.
Well, that's the vision. Is the vision is all the money they're going to make. So as long as they put something in that's going to make them money, then it fits within that vision.
Hey, once again, your logic is infallible. Yeah, but like I said, you guys got any comments before we wrap up here?
I think I covered everything, sadly.
Sadly? We're 5 minutes over.
Oh, you're right. Not so sadly,
Yeah, exactly. Okay. All right. Well, thanks a lot, you guys. All right. Let's talk about these two loose topics very quickly, and then we'll head back into our next feature. But yeah, Cyberpunk 2077 has been delayed again to November. This comes a couple weeks after they had just said, yeah, we're going to make the September 17th release date. The real winner here, Bungie. Destiny 2, the Destiny 2 expansion comes out on September 22nd. So the real winner here is Bungie.
That,
you know, they had a party when this news came out.
That feels like a solid gamble to look at that date and be like, you know what? I bet you they're going to move it. Let's go head to head and let's just wait. And, you know, worst case scenario, we take our lumps because, I mean, to a certain degree, Destiny's a little bit safe because, you know, they have their fans. Their fans will buy the expansion. I mean, they've brought some fans back looking at the two of us. But yeah.
Well, I'm going there to critique. Don't call me a fan yet. We'll see what happens.
Are you currently are you up to date with your expansions in Destiny 2?
I am up to date with my expansions.
There you go. That's all that matters.
So they did release a statement that said, at the time we are writing these words, Cyberpunk 2077 is finished both content and gameplay wise. The quests, the cutscenes, the skills and items, all the adventures Night City has to offer, it's all there. But with such an abundance of content and complex systems interweaving with each other, we need to properly go through everything, balancing game mechanics and fix a lot of bugs. Great. Nick, you don't believe him?
I don't, because they were saying a while ago that, like, the game's basically done. We're just going through doing some polish and touch up, and everything will be fine for September. And for them to be saying this now, I don't know, I don't think the cause from this is that they've been working from home, because I think they would have announced it earlier. And even then, I think they said, like, oh yeah, transition to work from home or whatever. I think they didn't indicate there would be any problems with that. I think, finish the letter.
Well, no, that was what they said. You know, the other part is something that we've already read. So,
oh, okay.
You know, yeah, but I mean, the thing about it, like, they could have been working on bugs and realized that, like, what some of the bugs they're working on are have a deeply, like, the problem is not surface, right? It's like deeply rooted in maybe a core system that they created. And now they got to get it fixed. You know, I thought you'd be happy about this because, I mean, knowing somebody who works in QA, we know how many bugs just get tossed to the side.
That's true.
In game development. We'll fix it after the game comes out.
I'm not saying that the extra time shouldn't be beneficial, assuming they use it properly and that's what they're doing. I'm not saying that. But I subscribe to the theory that November 19th is going to be one of the console launch dates. And that they're positioning this to be a launch title for one of the consoles, whichever console comes out that day.
We'll see what day is. No, let me look at the calendar quickly and see what day November 19th actually is. That is a Thursday. So consoles, wouldn't they come out on a Tuesday? So maybe the consoles, yeah. Or actually, I guess technically speaking, it wouldn't matter because the game came out on Thursday. And let's say the console came out the following week. You know, that actually would be... that would work out because this game should be like, if you buy it for PS4, you should be able to pop it in your PS5 and it should play like with the PL, you know, on the PS5 perfectly fine. Right. So maybe, I don't know, but that's the thing with the way these consoles are, the way the consoles are launching now, there's no reason to launch this around the console. When both the Xbox and the PS4, you'll be able to take your current disc and just pop it into the next one if you buy it.
Right. Unless,
which, let's be real.
Unless Microsoft or Sony went to CD Projekt Red and they're like, hey, here's some money. Like, can we like tie your launch to our launch kind of thing? Like, let's get together. We know we're coming in overpriced, but you know, if we can, you know, get hooked up with like one of the best games and most anticipated games of the year, this will help us move some consoles in November.
No. Because you can have $60 for, you know, the Cyberpunk, but are you going to have the additional $500 you're going to need for a PS5?
Well, I'm just saying there might be some people out there who are like, hey, you know what? I want the best Cyberpunk experience I can get without actually getting it on PC. And so therefore I will get it, you know, on the PS5 or the Xbox, what is it, Series X, One X? I still don't know the name of it.
Yeah, like the Microsoft. I mean, I'm a fan of your current work, but you really got to work on these names, man.
Yeah.
You really got to work on these names.
It's bad.
You know, so, right. Yeah. But yeah, so, yep. No Cyberpunk for you guys. Well, actually, no Cyberpunk for anybody except the games press, I guess, a little bit earlier. But moving on, there was a possible leak of PS5 pricing by Amazon in the EU. The PS5 price they listed was 500 euros. Is that pounds? I think it's euros, right?
Yeah, that's so euros.
500 euros for the PS5 and 400 for the digital edition, which the $500 for the regular PS5, I think that works. For the digital edition, I'm just not sure if that one is actually going to be cheaper. I mean, I guess common sense says it will be cheaper because that's what people expect. But from an actual pricing perspective, like the digital edition, all it doesn't have is the disc drive, you know? Wouldn't logic denote that you kind of need more hard drive space if you're not going to have the disc drive? You know,
well,
I guess technically speaking, everything gets installed on a hard drive, doesn't it? So,
yeah, I went through my PS4 the other day because I was running out of space for the Destiny update after I purchased all the expansions and needed to install them. And I noticed that No Man's Sky, which I can no longer play on my PlayStation since my disk drive is shot. So I have a digital only PS4. I'm living in the future, people. And yeah, it's still taking up like 8 gigs of space on there. So I didn't delete it because there's probably like maybe I'll somehow I'm not getting it fixed. That data is useless to me at this point.
No.
Yeah, so it's literally just dead space on my computer. So I need my PlayStation. So I need to get that cleared out. But yeah, it's the thing is there are some people, and maybe the thinking here is that the drive is not primarily for games. Like, yeah, you can use the drive for games, and in a way the drive gives you extended space for the games because you're not installing the full games on your drive. I'm sure that No Man's Sky at this point with all its updates and everything, if I didn't have the drive, would be way more than 8 gigs. But maybe the thinking is like, if you want the drive, you're using that for your Blu-rays, your 4K movies, you know, or that's, you know, or you can have your library of games that you put in and you play there, and that gives you the extra space. But either way, you're getting the same amount of digital space to use, and that's just the PS5 experience until, you know, whatever iteration comes out where they increase the size of the drive.
Yeah, I mean, thinking about it a bit more, you know, in order to actually use the SSD or the hard or the drive they have in the PS4, you couldn't run anything from the disc anyway, right? Like, because it'll just take too long. You put everything on the drive and then run from the SSD. So, yeah, okay. I mean, I would, in that case, that means both the PS5 and the digital edition have to have, I would say, at least one. Actually, I think they already said they're going to have 1 gig of space, right? So, yeah, okay, I can see that. 400, though, I'm not sure. That's the thing. I mean, Sony definitely wants it to be 400. They want it to be 400 because they all know that's the sweet spot to get consoles moving. The reason why I don't think Microsoft is going to be highly competitive here in terms of pricing is because they don't need to be. It's like, okay, well, you know, if you want to play newer games that look better than your Xbox One, we'll buy an Xbox One X, you know, and that's going to be $400, maybe $300. But I think the Series X is easily going to be, I think, $550, $600, I think. And then eventually, over time, the price will start to come down. Because they have just made it so clear. They do not care where you buy Xbox games as long as you're buying Xbox games. And they have a whole family of consoles. But the PlayStation, they really need those units to move. So they're going to try to get it as close to $400 as they can. You know, even if they have to take a loss on it. Because that's the hardware market. Hardware market, traditionally, the players take losses on their hardware. So, and you know what? With the PS3 and the Xbox One, they did not take losses. Well, Microsoft did. But Sony didn't take losses on their hardware. But look what that got us. The PS4, when it released, was already 2 years out of date. You know, it was already 2 years behind. So this generation, they're definitely not pushing for that. But at the same time, I think they will have to take a loss. Go ahead.
I got to say, for being 2 years out of date, I feel like the PS4 has acquitted itself well.
That's because it's actually held. I think it's held game development back to a degree, because you can only make your games look so good, you know. You can only make your games look so good because you don't have to completely redo the assets when you put it onto a console, you know.
That's fair.
So yeah, that's the thing. It's been holding back. That's why I'm just really excited about Microsoft's new model. I mean, you would think I would get paid by the guys. I'm just excited. And you would, and I don't even care about the console. The thing is, like, I'm excited because if they do update the consoles as much as I think they are, which is every few years, this is actually one of the best things for game development and you know, having, you know, games push forward. Now we just actually have to see if Microsoft executes it. We can be doing this podcast 2 years from now, and I'm like, fuck Microsoft. They didn't hold hold their side of the deal, which there was no deal, by the way, folks. But you know, they didn't do what I thought they were going to do. They're squandering this great opportunity. Yak, 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 yak. But yeah, I mean, they have a real opportunity to really push, you know, development forward. And I hope Sony is on the same page. Like, you know, we're going to release this console and then we're going to release more powerful consoles at a faster iteration, you know? So, okay. Well, with that, we are going to move into our final feature, Pokemon Direct. On June 17th, Nintendo made a few announcements regarding Pokemon. They kicked off their announcement with Pokemon Smile, a new app to encourage children to brush their teeth well. They also announced a second mobile title, Pokemon Cafe Mix, where players will need to solve puzzles to complete Pokemon orders. Cafe Mix will also be available on the Switch. To fan surprise, a new Pokemon Snap was revealed after a 20-year hiatus. Some gameplay was shown, but not much additional information was given. After that, it was announced that this year's Pokemon Go Fest will be completely digital, and soon, Mega Evolution will be coming to Pokemon Go. To celebrate the launch of the Isle of Armor DLC, a special Max Raid battle featuring Zeraora will be available. If 1 million trainers defeat Zeraora, everyone can get a shiny Zeraora. The video was short, clocking in around 11 minutes, and teased a big announcement coming on June 24th.
Hey, thanks for kicking it over to us. Jaw, this is Keylock with Pop-Tart. That Pokemon Direct was fucking sick.
Like, so sick.
Yeah, like, there is a lot to talk about, so let's just start breaking it down, like, right now. How excited are you for Pokemon Smile?
I am smiling ear to ear right now. It was actually really cute. And I was tempted to download it to play it, which some of my friends definitely have, but you just brush your teeth and catch Pokemon. What's not to like?
Yeah, like, in my head I was like, this is not for me. Why is this here? And then I'm like, if I was a parent, like, and I needed my kid to fucking brush his teeth, like, I would have been, this is definitely like a lifesaver tool. For that, like, this, I laughed at it, but I'm like, no, I see the use here. And then I started seeing on Twitter everyone posting dumb memes of themselves basically brushing their teeth with like a Squirtle on their head.
All the kids that were brushing their teeth, but were like, you could tell it was like take like 37, and they were just brushing their face instead. They're like, okay, I don't want to smile anymore. Oh my God.
The kids in the commercial were definitely done with everything. They were like, can I go home now and stop brushing my teeth?
I will say, like, a big, I guess, kudos to Nintendo. There's no in-app purchases. That would have been really shady, though, if they were like, hey, kids, brush your teeth. Also, buy Eevee for $5.
Yeah, Eevee will come join you, brush your teeth for this small fee of a microtransaction.
See, that's the only thing that would have made it better is if the Pokemon were actually brushing their teeth with you.
Yeah, that'd been dope. But we're not going to linger on Pokemon Smile for too much longer. It's an app you can download for your phone. It's to help your kids brush their teeth. Or if you're an adult, or yourself, if you're into that thing. You know, whatever. Have fun with it. The next game that they kind of announced was Pokemon Cafe, which was more robust than I thought it was going to be just by looking at it. So this looks like to be like a puzzle game that has like building your cafe out kind of thing. Like it looked kind of weird. It was weird to me, but like I think this could actually take off with a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm one of those people. Hello. I was excited, and then I was like, oh man, you can't get it quite yet. The only thing I'm kind of upset, like, so I love Picross games, and I got Pokemon Picross when it came out, and I'm not bad at the games, I'm pretty good, but like the limit on that game basically was like, oh, it's free to play, but there's a hard bar where it's like, okay, well now you have to pay for it, or you're waiting like a whole day to do more than 3 puzzles.
That sucks.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that it's not going to be as limiting as that, but I've never really seen a puzzle game style like this. I don't know if it exists previously or if they were like, oh, this is something completely new, but I'm excited to build my cafe.
It looks adorable. I like that you get cute Pokemon partners and you get to dress them up in cafe outfits. Yes. And the puzzle part looks fine. Like, I'm like, it looks cool. I mean, yeah, I just find it's very, like, it's just very adorable game that people are going to eat up because it's cute as fuck. Mm-hmm. And I like that it's coming to, I think it says it was coming to Switch and mobile. Mm-hmm. Is that correct? Yeah. Yes. So that's good that it has a Switch port as well. I doubt there'll be cross progression, though. Like, you'll probably have, like, 2 separate accounts, probably.
Yeah. I don't think my Switch I use to watch YouTube on, so it just sits at my bedstand, and I don't think that I would want to pick that up just to play this game. So I'll probably get it on my phone.
Yeah, this definitely looks like a mobile adventure more so. But it's cool that they gave the option for Switch. Like, that's really dope.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's enough about Pokemon Cafe. Let's get into the real thing that I'm super stoked about. Pokemon Snap new Pokemon Snap.
Yes.
I don't know.
That's close enough. I typed Pokemon Snap 2 when I was.
A lot of people were saying Pokemon Snap 2, but I thought the logo was like new Pokemon Snap or whatever.
Yes.
So new Pokemon Snap looks fucking sick. Like, it looks really pretty. The Pokemon look crazy cool. The environments look dope. Like, I don't know. Like, this was the announcement for the show for me. Like, I was like all in on this, even though a lot of people are like, probably, well, I don't know, a lot of people are like this, but I've heard like, it's just taking pictures of Pokemon. And I'm like, yeah, that's fucking cool.
Okay, anybody that says that can come fight me. First off. No, I've seen nothing but positivity on my Twitter, which is obviously the end all be all of, you know, feedback.
Yeah, because Twitter feedback is the end all be all of what matters in life. Exactly. I'm glad we've cleared this up.
Yeah, you're welcome. Pop-Tart tips. You don't have to pay me this time. But no, there was another announcement that I was hoping for that we can get into a little bit later, but this is one of the announcements that I was really, really hoping for. But it's like one of those, like, oh, they'll never make another Pokemon Snap. So I kind of just lost hope. So it's always like the back of my head, like, hope they have a Pokemon Snap, but it's not going to happen. So this is going to be like my actual main choice. So yeah, they showed a lot of like different environmental things. There's definitely nighttime and evening, like dusk and stuff. So I wonder if each level is going to have a different time of day.
Oh, that would be so cool. Yeah. It's different. And depending on the time of day, it changes what the Pokemon act like. And yeah, you would have to. I can't wait to find the alt, because it's still going to be an on rails. Like, you're like, still like on rails moving forward kind of thing.
On rail so, shooter. Like, yep.
Yeah. On rail shooter. It kind of is. It pretty is. Much is an on-rail shooter, because you're just, it's a, but I'm curious to find the alternate paths like you used to, what things you have to interact with the world. The one sad part is, since Blockbuster is dead, where am I going to get my Pokemon stickers now from my photos that I take?
Okay, but like, here's the thing. The Switch has a built-in screenshot feature.
Okay, seriously, if I can't like upload photos to something, to like something, to like keep, I don't know. Like, I mean, yeah, it does have a built-in screenshot feature, so that's nice.
And then you can upload it to Twitter. Yeah, and again, Twitter is the end
of the yeah. But I want my stickers.
And then you just go to like Redbubble.
That's fair. You know what? That's there you go. We figured we've solved the problem.
It's not as instant, but you know, it's something. Yeah. But
well, I mean, it's not instant to go to a Blockbuster and then go.
True, but like you playing the game to sticker printing process is pretty instant. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like every time I went to Blockbuster, those were broken anyway.
That's fair.
Yeah. But no, they showed apple throwing. I'm really interested. Pokemon's definitely changed over the past few years. So I'm interested on if they're going to have that stink ball thing that you throw a Pokemon. And sometimes they would not like pass out from it, or it was kind of brutal. So
yeah. I'm definitely curious about the items. I'm curious what they're going to give us to interact with to get different photo shots. And I better see filters. They're better. Give me, I want to be able to go back and edit my photos. With like filters and frames, and I want to be able to basically like let me Adobe Photoshop my Pokemon Snap photos.
I use After filters sometimes. Oh, always on Instagram because you know they have the option right there. So like would be fun to do filters and like stickers and stuff.
Yeah.
The car looks the same as before, too. I can't tell if it's the same person. I didn't look that hard into it. Was his name Todd or something like that?
I don't think it was Todd. It looked like somebody else, but I don't know who he is looking at it. I can't tell. He definitely has a more digital, updated 2020 camera. That's for sure, though.
Like, yeah. So obviously, I'm excited about that.
I am, too. I'm very excited. I'm curious, like, I'm really curious what they're going to do with the photo editing, what they're going to do with items, like, what Pokemon are actually going to be here, like, because obviously they're not going to throw
all 800.
Yeah, there's no way, especially looking at how pretty they all, they look better. I mean, some of them look better than what they do in, like, Sword and Shield in some aspects, but.
Well, it's because you're in a different angle.
Yeah, I saw a lot of people getting uproared about it. Like, why does this look better than Sword and Shield? I'm like, it's because, one, they're predetermined paths that are always going to be the same no matter what. You're not battling with them. You're just interacting with them. You can spend a lot more time on making things look a lot prettier when you know this is exactly where someone is going every single time, and there's only this many options to do. So, yeah, they can spend more time making things look prettier. Duh.
Also, they're like, not going to waste their, I don't want to say waste, but waste their time on, if you're seeing a Pokemon from kind of further away, like the way that the camera angle is, there's certain aspects that you might not fill in 100% because it's something that the player is never going to see.
So, I mean, there's it, this game also like they I don't know. I don't get the outrage over that, but whatever. Pokemon fans lately have been mad about a lot of stuff just to be mad.
Listen, if you're mad about Pokemon Snap, at me on Twitter. Like, I'm inviting you. Come fight me.
All right. But I'm pretty snapped out of it now. So let's move on to the. I love how much you hated that. Like, that is the best part. I love how much you just had so much disgust on your face.
I just rolled my eyes so hard.
Anyways, let's move on to Pokemon Go.
Yeah, these. You know what? Okay, so they kind of spread like two Pokemon Go announcements out, so we'll just do it like all in one go, because I'm not going to come back to it. But I used to play Pogo pretty hardcore. I stopped because Adventure Sync broke, and that was kind of like the last straw, and I couldn't fix it. So it's like, I'm done. But
yeah, it's pretty rough.
I play like occasionally on community days because they've done a lot of things to kind of cater to, you know, staying at home and stuff with like, you know, all of their raids and all of the stuff that they showed. But they're actually doing GoFest 2020 digitally, like online, and you could be on your phone doing it, which is really cool. I actually might do that because I don't have to go to a crowd of people, which I didn't even want to do, you know, before everything happened. So
right. I've kind of fallen out of Pokemon Go, but like I used to, like you, I used to before coronavirus, like I was doing raids and stuff like that, but I kind of fell out of it. But I might jump back in, and I like all the things I've been hearing about the way they're handling like staying at home inside and being able to play. So I'm kind of tempted to get to jump back in, and I might jump back in for FanFest, like you said, like, or not FanFest.
For FanFest.
Sorry. 14 got in the brain. for the Pokemon Go event, like that, it sounds dope what they're gonna plan on doing with it. So I'm kind of all in on it. Like that sounds pretty fun to try out, especially because we can't go anywhere,
right?
So might as well.
Yeah, so I might do that. And they're adding Mega Evolutions,
which is dope.
Which is really sick. I don't know how they're gonna do that. Like,
I don't either.
Like, are they gonna be like you can catch the Mega Evolutions, or is it gonna be like just the stone and then you can only do it in battle?
Do I have to get like Pokemon stop stuff to like spin, and then I randomly get a Mega Stone, and then I have to have that Pokemon have it equip? Like, how do I equip the stone to the Pokemon? I guess like you can have them hold. I guess you could have them hold the item, I guess. I don't know. And then when you're battling, it just happens. Like, how would you initiate it during battles? Like,
right. I don't know. And then if they add Pokemon holding stones, are they going to add other Pokemon holding things, or is it just going to be that one? Or is it just going to be evolution stones? And then you just have all of them.
Yeah. Do they just stay Mega? Are we not going to go the Digimon route where they digivolve back into their previous form? Because be honest, Mega Evolution is just Digivolution pretty much. Like,
I mean, yeah, but
it's cool. Mega. Though, but Mega. But yeah, I'm really excited for Mega Evolutions. I'm very curious to see how they're going to handle that, especially because I think Mega Evolution is one of the more popular spins on the Pokemon series that we've had, with, you know, compared to like Z moves and Dynamax and Gigamax. Like, so we'll see.
Yeah, and then they also are adding, I'm trying not to say a Garly in Farfetch'd. See, I have Final Fantasy on the brain too. Galarian. Galarian, thank you.
Yeah.
Farfetch'd to the game, which is something that they announced like after this. That's why I said I'm not coming back. Which is cool.
Yeah.
They have all of those. See, the problem that I always had is I had to keep upgrading my box because I have like 50 different types of Pikachus. So all of the different types is a little,
yeah,
kind of annoying, but listen, this Farfetch'd is like the coolest.
Yeah. Well, I mean, plus you have to have all your different Pikachus because there's like 50 different ones for every hat they have.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, every Pikachu has a different, like, your default box cannot hold all the Pokemon that actually like are there. You
can't
have
even
to
hold
your
my
box.
Pikachus. Like, it can't. I can't go through my Pikachus.
Any other thoughts on the Pokemon Go stuff?
No, I think it's pretty sick is my final thought. I'm not mad for once at Pogo.
Yeah, Niantic seems to be doing right here. At least with this, they seem to be doing the right things. Mm-hmm. So that's good. All right, well, then moving on from Pokemon Go, well, let's talk about the new DLC that dropped. Like, have you picked it up? Are you playing it? Like, are you playing the Isle of Armor?
I will eventually. I haven't. I actually played a lot of Sword and Shield because I started getting very into getting a living dex. And then this thing that I do in games where I like obsessively obsess over a specific thing and then just stop playing it because I went too far deep. And then I was like, oh, I don't want to pick this up. This is so much. I don't feel like playing today, and just never pick it up again. So that's what happened. But I definitely want to play the DLC because it looks pretty cool, but that's not really what they announced. They were just saying, hey, it's available. But I'm gonna butcher this. They have like a legendary Pokemon Zeraora, whatever,
sure. I'm going to let it rock because I don't know how to pronounce it either.
They have like a raid for it. And if like a million people catch it by like the 28th or something like that, then they're going to give everybody a shiny version.
Woo. So that's... I guess that's cool. I have a love-hate relationship with Sword and Shield. I didn't actually finish Sword and Shield. I got through all the gym leaders, but like I never finished the campaign. So like I don't see myself going back to Isle of Armor. I mean, my main hangup was with the matchmaking, like the way to match with people up in the game. It felt like it was such a pain to like hook up with friends and do raids, but I don't know. So I'm probably not gonna, I'm excited. I'm happy that people are happy for this DLC. Like, I'm happy that they're happy from what I've heard that it's good. That's all I can say. Like,
yeah, I will play it, but I'll probably do the raid. We'll see. I might not even pick, like, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'll say that I played through the whole thing. Like, I actually enjoyed it. And that's a conversation for another day, but we'll see if I'll do the raid, but I'm definitely picking up the DLC.
I'm probably not picking up the DLC, but I'm happy other people are happy for it. That's all I can say. Like, I'm glad for them. All right. And then we have our final little teaser. We're getting another Pokemon Direct this week. And this was recorded before that Nintendo announcement or Pokemon announcement happens. But they basically teased something that they're going to announce this week. I've seen a lot of speculation online about what it is. A lot of people are hoping that it's going to be a Gen 4 remake or a Black and White thing. But after what Kuwabara kind of showed me today, I'm like, there's no way. It's got to be like what he was talking about. Like, and Kuwabara brought up an image of the president, and he kind of circled for us, like in the background you see like the legendaries and the final evolutions from the Johto region. And then Pop-Tart, you pointed out something too to me as well.
Yeah, so like on the middle shelf you see that, and then on the bottom shelf it's like nothing but Let's Go stuff. So you have Let's Go Eevee on the right with Eevee, Umbreon, and Espeon, and then you have Let's Go Pikachu right behind him, but Pikachu's like everywhere.
Mm-hmm. So basically what we're thinking, or what I'm thinking now, is that it's got to be Let's Go Johto.
Let's go.
Right? Like, it's got to be Let's Go Johto. They even have the evolution. Like, you pointed this out to me too earlier, Pop-Tart, and it was the evolutions that are sitting there.
It's just the Gen 2 ones.
Yeah, it's only Gen 2's EVs, nobody else.
And then so, the like, top left is like Politoed, Sudowoodo, and Ampharos, which like that's
I didn't even see that.
Those three Pokemon really stick out to me in Gen 2, especially the Sudowoodo because of the, you know, and forgive me if I'm pronouncing them wrong. I don't say these out loud. I just read them and then just assume.
Yeah, no, Sudowoodo. Sudowoodo is, I think, how you pronounce it. Politoed is there. Ampharos is there, too. Yeah, so I'm kind of on the boat that this has to be, like, Let's Go Johto.
And that that was the announcement that I wanted.
That's what you wanted?
That's what I wanted, because I know it's an off year. And I don't think that they're going to do a remake during this off year, because they're still trying to figure... Like, not all of the Pokemon, I think, are in their database yet for, like, creating them. So they'd have to have specific Pokemon to be able to do a Gen 4 remake. And they wouldn't do Gen 5 because they haven't done Gen 4 yet. Like, that wouldn't make sense.
Right.
So let's go to.
Yeah, that's after all this like hidden evidence crap that like y'all pointed out to me, I'm like, yeah, I'm sold. It has to be Let's Go Johto. Like, there's not like there's Nintendo and Pokemon Company never do anything without a reason, and like having all those Pokemon specifically and having that much Let's Go stuff and all the specific like Gen 2 things being there, like, yeah, if I was a betting man, that's where my money is now. Like, that's where my money is. So
same.
But yeah, no, this was a pretty cool Pokemon announcement. Like, there wasn't, like, there was some weird shit, like, with Pokemon Smile and Pokemon Cafe, but, like, for the most part, like, all of it was pretty good news. Like, there was nothing super bad, and they blew up the internet with new Pokemon Snap. So, I mean, hey, like, good for them. And I can't wait to hear this next announcement. Pop-Tart, do you got anything else you want to throw in?
No, I'm excited, and I literally can't wait for Pokemon Snap. Every day that goes by that Pokemon Snap is not in my hands, I cry. I cried when I watched the trailer again. Yeah, no, that's it.
All right. Well, we're going to kick it back to your regularly scheduled broadcast. Take it away.
Okay, that is it for us. Thank you guys for listening. You can follow us on Twitter at The MASH Network if you want to keep up with what's going on with the show and what's happening with The MASH Button Network. Nick, why don't you tell them where they can find you?
I am at WookieBH on Twitter. You can also find me here on The MASH Those Buttons Network on WoW Talk, our World of Warcraft Guild and Community podcast, and also on The Torn and the Goblin, our World of Warcraft Lore and Story podcast.
And you can find me on Twitter at Josh Stradamus. You can also find me streaming on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/mashthosebuttons. And if you want to know when we go live, just give us a follow over there. We would love to hear from you guys. We'd love to have you reach out and give us your comments and thoughts on, you know, what we talked about. So you can reach out to us at metcontact@mash.gg. You can reach out to us on Twitter that we just gave you. You can also reach out to us on Discord at mash.gg/discord. Join the MASH Those Buttons community. And if you enjoy the show and you want to help us out, the best way to do that is to share the show with others and to rate and review on your favorite podcast platform of choice. If you want to take your support a bit further, you can become a patron at patreon.com/mashthosebuttons, where you can help support MASH Those Buttons with tiers starting at $1 a month and gain early access to content as well as exclusive content. And if you like our limited content, like we're doing We Are Survivors right now for The Last of Us, if you like that, that's a great way to support, you know, that solid content, because it ain't free. I will tell you. I'll be very honest with you. It is not cheap to make that stuff. So we would really, really appreciate the support. And we also have a Teespring, Teespring store at teespring.com/store/mashthosebuttons. And you can also support by just throwing a Twitch subscription our way. Like if you have a Prime sub free or something like that, we would appreciate it. Like I said that before, it was twitch.tv/mashthosebuttons. And, you know, we encourage you guys to stay tuned after the show to hear more about MASH Those Buttons. So with that, we're done for today. Thanks a lot. We'll catch you next week.
Stay safe out there, everybody.
Thanks for listening to a MASH Those Buttons production. If you enjoyed the show, you should check out mashthosebuttons.com and see if any of our other shows might interest you. All of our shows are available on your podcast platform of choice like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. If you enjoy our content, you can help support MASH Those Buttons by becoming a patron at patreon.com/mashthosebuttons, where you can receive Patreon bonuses for as little as $1 a month. You can connect with MASH Those Buttons at twitter.com/themashnetwork, facebook.com/mashthosebuttons, or join our Discord at mash.gg/discord.